Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I bumped my headset volume up when I put my headset on, and I was unaware how loud that was about to be. And that's okay. I needed a little adrenaline kick this morning.
It's not really loud. I wasn't trying to jump scare you. I could, like,
no, not your fault. My fault. Okay, hit the volume button, turned it up, wasn't paying attention. And that's cool. Because, you know, we needed a little adrenaline spike. It's Friday morning. We're trying to catch the vibes this morning. And now we are about to, because Bryson and the boys are getting the crowd hyped to start the 2025 Ryder Cup in 9 minutes.
That can't be real.
Why?
Because the sun's out.
They're further east than us.
Okay.
Looks
like the sun's been up a while.
They're in New York City. They're like further east than Charleston is, geographically speaking.
You sure this is an AI?
Yes, it is. The whole Ryder Cup is AI.
I was just talking about the AI sky.
Yes, they AI'd it to be light outside. That's how far this whole thing has come.
It actually is possible for them to do that.
Boys and girls, the Ryder Cup is firing up here in about 9 minutes. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I will not be doing play-by-play of the Ryder Cup. For the record, I wouldn't care if it didn't. I just know I can't. However, what I can tell you is we will be checking in a lot. What I can tell you is I'm going to be watching that screen. You are going to see, if you join us on our live stream today at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on Twitter, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. I interact. I'm going to, although the chat is shockingly quiet today, so I'm going to need y'all to jump in and participate a little bit here. I'm going to be paying attention, but you're going to see a whole lot of the side profile of Rob Brown today with the Ryder Cup going off here in about 12 minutes from right now. Let me line up the show for you. We got your water cooler cheat sheet coming up here in just a few minutes from now. In the next segment of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Ryder Cup. It will be started at that point as we get group one going out in about, we'll call it 12 minutes from right now. We'll also set up the other foursomes for the morning session and get you your schedule for the afternoon as we get two sessions of golf every day. Hell yeah. Then, in the final segment of this hour, we will start with our college football picks, predictions, prognostications.
He said picks.
Yeah, I sure did say picks, sure, and I said it very clearly and without a single other letter accidentally in there. Anyone saying anything to the contrary is incorrect and lying.
Clean your ears out with some, you know, tips or something. Q-tips.
Yes. To wrap up this hour, I have got two, I think, big-time upsets on the board this weekend, and I will tell you what they are, as well as give you some of my other bold hot takes for the college football weekend. Then, in the next hour of the show, we have got your NFL discussion, At 8:40 a.m., we have got Rashad Beard. At 9 o'clock a.m., we've got the boys from the Movin' the Chains podcast to get you set up for the high school football weekend. At 9:20 a.m., Denton Day, who normally joins us on Wednesdays. He had an actual job to do on Wednesday, so we bumped him, and he was kind enough to move to today. We'll have Denton Day at 9:20. We'll run through all of his thoughts on college football, the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. And then the final segment of the show today belongs to you. The Armada Audio Assault, relegated to the final segment, but that means get it ready to rock. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:05 in the morning. You have 55 minutes until you've got to get in the office. And once you get in the office, let's keep it a buck with each other, shall we? Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody's working for college football Saturday. There's actually a big-time game tonight. Florida State's on the road at Virginia this evening. And Virginia's better than a lot of people thought they were going to be. Tony Elliott is in the process of perhaps saving his job right now. That's a very interesting game. Florida State's first road test, and it's against a pretty good Virginia offense. But we got to at least make it to there. How do you do that? You kill time at the office. You kill time to make it to tonight for some college football. Tomorrow, all day college football. Sunday, all day NFL. We run it back on Monday. How do we kill that time? Talking sports. You got to know what's going on in sports. We're here for you with this. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your supervisor or your boss or your coworkers or the janitor or your IT guy or Bill, whoever it might be. This is what you'll be talking about. Item number one. But Rob, I don't like golf. I don't care. This is a spectacular event. Remember how the four nations face off during the hockey all-star break this year? Remember how I said, hey guys, this actually might be a pretty fun event. This actually might be a pretty cool little event that you might want to check out. And some of you went, I'm not a hockey guy, Rob. And I said, check it out anyway. Who knows? Maybe it'll grow on you. And remember how then that event kicked a whole bunch of ass for like a week and a half, and it became the thing in sports that we were talking about? The Ryder Cup. Ladies and gentlemen, if I haven't introduced you, if you haven't been introduced, find a TV right now. I don't care if you've got to take the day off and go home. Find a TV and go turn it on USA right now. I'm even going to tell you what channel it's on. Because right now, Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas are making their way to the first hole, adorned in the star-spangled banner. Coming out to join them from Team Europe, John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. This is fantastic because, yes, it's about the course. Bethpage Black is a big risk, big reward golf course. Who fits big risk, big reward better than Bryson DeChambeau? If Bryson DeChambeau comes out slapping this morning, there's an opportunity. This one could be threatened to be over by hole 10, 11, 12. But if Bryson is off even a little bit, that's two of the best in the game in Rahm and Hatton on the other side. And if they are allowed to just play regular golf, not have to be aggressive over the top because Bryson DeChambeau is coming undone, you give yourself an opportunity to go get a dub. Last Ryder Cup, 2 years ago, the Americans lost the morning session 4-0, Team Europe. We were never going to come back from that. That's why these first four matches are wildly important. Somebody can build a lead that allows you to just play golf the next 3 days and not have to try to do anything special. Some guys are going to try to do stuff special. The Ryder Cup's incredible. I have said it already. I get more pumped about the Ryder Cup than I get pumped about the Masters. And y'all know how much I love the Masters. Ryder Cup getting underway. We are just a minute or so away from the tee shots on hole number one. Look how many freaking people are there, dude. Like, it's packed. It is packed this morning, and I am jacked. But keep in mind, that's the grandstand. There are people lining the fairway for all 18 holes already to watch guys come through throughout the course of the day. This is going to be incredible. The energy is through the roof. This is a college football game, but golf. You know, every year we highlight the 18th at the Waste Management Open because that tournament is just a psychopathic college football atmosphere. That's what this is. I can't wait. Let's get to item number two. It is the final weekend of the Major League Baseball regular season. Every team will play three games over the next 3 days. We will wrap it up with our playoff bracket being set on Sunday night. So, what are the standings going in? Here's where we stand. There is only one division in the American League that has been clinched so far. The Seattle Mariners were able to wrap up the AL West with a sweep of the Astros earlier this week. They needed just one more win. They got it. The Astros with three to play are 90 and 69. Nice. They are not just in front. They have clinched the AL West. The Houston Astros are still alive for a wild card spot, but as of right now, they are not clinched. The AL Central, the Detroit Tigers, finally came off the schneid. They were on a 10-game losing streak. That included three to the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians were 15 and a half games back in this division 2 months ago. Those two teams are now tied with three games to play for the divisional lead. The Guardians and the Tigers both enter the weekend 86 and 73 after the Tigers took two of three from the Guardians. It is now a tied result. And in the AL East, everybody else in that division, by the way, the Royals, Twins, and White Sox all eliminated. The Rangers, A's, and Angels all eliminated. In the AL East, the Blue Jays and the Yankees will enter the weekend tied, both 91 and 68. All right, I'm not going to do play-by-play, but if Bryson DeChambeau, I don't think he's going to try to drive the green. In fact, he looks like he's playing a short. Oh, that's John Rahm. Okay, I looked up and I just saw short, stocky dude. John Rahm is trying to drive the dog leg, and Walt in the rough on the open, in the deep rough off the opening tee. So good start if Bryson can come up and do his thing, which if I'm Bryson DeChambeau now, I'm swinging, like, go get it. Like, this, if you end up in the rough too, whatever. I will take a scramble out of the rough against John Rahm.
Why not play it
drive
safe?
The green.
Why not play it safe? Because he's already in the rough. And if you, I mean.
This man's out here, like I said earlier, to set the energy on the course. This is one of those times where I am willing to take the punishment of being in the rough. Because if he puts this on the green, that place comes unglued. And it will not be glued again for a very long time. All right, I'm going to get back to the baseball. I just have to watch this shot because this is a tournament-setting shot. Bryson absolutely hitting a bleep missile. Can he get it over the thick stuff? Where'd it end up? Is it on? I can't see from this freaking angle. Oh, no, he's on the fairway, but he's only like 10 yards short of the green. That's a great shot. That's what you want. Watch the crowd come electric when he starts walking up. This is going to be great. I can't wait. All right, back to baseball. I'll keep you up to date
on
the Ryder Cup.
They're hitting their own shots. It's not the...
No, now you... Second. So it's a foursome. So one guy hits the drive, the next guy hits the next shot, and you alternate shots throughout the rest of the day. So now it is going to be alternating shots. That's why Bryson took... That's why I said I think Bryson takes that first shot just to get him on. Now can... Just get me close and let's hit a birdie. Let's get a birdie. Let's let John Rahm and them scramble for a par. Let's get a birdie. Let's take a lead. All right, we'll come back to that. Baseball, because I got to run through this. All right, the Blue Jays and the Yankees enter the weekend in the AL East, tied, both teams alive in the division. The Red Sox at 87 and 72 are alive for a wild card. They cannot do anything better than a wild card, but they are alive for the wild card right now. So your division winners, only Seattle, Cleveland, and Detroit fighting for the Central, Toronto, and New York fighting for the East. The Astros fighting for a wild card spot in the AL. Over in the NL, all three divisions are clinched going into the weekend. The Phillies won the AL East like a week and a half ago because the Mets are the Mets and the Braves suck this year. The Brewers have won the Central with a 96-63 record going into the weekend. The best record in baseball can only be held by the Milwaukee Brewers after this weekend. And they can win 99 games, but no more. Over in the NL West, the Dodgers have clinched the division with a 90-69 record entering the weekend. The Diamondbacks fell to third. The Padres, who were in contention, now cannot clinch the Scratch that. I take that back. I got this one wrong. The Dodgers have not clinched the division. Sorry. The Brewers have clinched the Central. The Dodgers have not clinched the West. They are three games up. They can flip with the Padres. The Padres have clinched the wild card, not the second place. The Padres have clinched a wild card. The Dodgers have clinched a playoff berth as it stands right now. So we will update you on that. The Dodgers did clinch the division. The Padres do have a wild card berth. The Brewers have clinched the Central. The Phillies, the East. Alive for the wild card right now, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, and the Mets are fighting for the last wild card spot, and it will come down to Sunday. All right, blah, 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 enough of that. We'll come back and check in on the baseball schedule for the weekend. Let's get to item number three. I have gone back and forth and up and down and round about what this should be. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited that there's really not much to focus on but sports. I mean, there's a lot of headlines out there. John Mateer announced that his surgery went well, expected to miss at least a month, may or may not be available around the time Oklahoma plays South Carolina. We'll see. Auburn putting out a statement. They're still mad about the non-call that a lot of Auburn fans believe cost them that game against Oklahoma not too long ago. Sorry, Zach is pointing out, I did not mention your NL wild card. The Cubs have clinched. I thought that I had made the standings there clear. That is my bad. The Cubs have clinched a wild card berth in the National League, and the Padres have clinched a wild card berth in the National League. The Reds, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks fighting for the last spot. All right. Thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate that. Wanted to get that clear. I'll keep it a buck. I just think it's Football Friday is item number three. Like, I don't know. I looked for some NASCAR news. Obviously, we'll get that over the weekend because we've got the round of eight trying to get locked in. We have got a pretty good race this weekend, too. I may actually have to talk about that later on. We've got the Ryder Cup, made it one. We got baseball's weekend number two. It's just a hashtag Friday football fiesta. So we're going to, starting out of the gate, talk a little Ryder Cup next. Then, in the long segment this hour, Zoe and I will give you our favorite games from the weekend, our most interesting games over the weekend, and start to look at some potential upsets because I've got two that I am trying to pick to be my upset entry into the wire-to-wire upset competition. We'll talk about those to wrap up the hour. We'll do some NFL in the 8 o'clock hour. Rashad Beard talking Panthers at 8:40. Moving the Chains podcast at 9, getting you set up for the high school football weekend. Denton Day talks college football at 9:20. And then we send you off into the weekend with whatever you want. That's a hell of a shot out of the rough for Tyrrell Hatton. Hell of a shot out of the rough. Ryder Cup next, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Bryson DeChambeau puts the boys up 1-3 one. Yes, sir. That's what I'm looking for. Bryson DeChambeau getting us started this AM. Tried to drive the green. Did come up about 10 yards short, but on the fairway out of the gate. So puts Tyrrell Hatton and John Rahm down one early. Like, this is the start you have to have if you are the Americans. You are well aware of what happens when Team Europe gets a good jump. I brought this up earlier. They won the opening day last Ryder Cup 4-0. Sorry, the opening segment. You get 4 points available in the morning. You got 4 points available for you in the afternoon. They lost 0-4. And what happens in that spot, it's to put it in football terms, it's kind of like if you came out and you let a team, and this would be wild. Like, say if your NFL team, and I can't imagine a team would do this. Say your NFL team came out and let the other team score 21 points in the first quarter. Like, say, so like, how crazy? That'd be impossible. And basically what it would do is create a world where your offense now has to go chase the game. So you can't run your running back who is known for his ability to extend plays and extend the clock because you don't need to do that. You've got to chase. And that would be bad, especially if you had like a second-year guy who hasn't won a game as a rookie, and now you're making him go chase the game, especially like if you were on the road in the Northwest or something. That would be a weird, dumb, bad thing for an NFL team to do. That's why you can't do that here. That's what the Saints did against Seattle. I'm just openly hating on my own team, okay? Catch you up there. Bleeping everybody. It's like the least exciting hoot out of all time. And it's Ricky Saints, buddy of the show, WWE soon-to-be superstar.
No, actually it wasn't.
That wasn't Ricky?
No.
Who was it?
It was, I forget who it was.
Oh, okay.
No, whatever. That was several different people.
Who cares? Doesn't matter. Point is, just like.
No, Ricky would have been, I mean, come on.
Just like the answer to who dat, it's just a lot of people. So, that's the start that you have to have. And the shot for me, the called shot for me was, you send out Bryson DeChambeau as a vibes guy out of the gate. You are hitting the opening tee shot for Team USA. You are going to set Justin Thomas up to be successful with shot two, and that's exactly what they did. Didn't get to the green on one, but he got it in the fairway about 10 yards short, and you could feel the gas coming off. So what you have done now is the folks who were in the grandstand, the folks who are lining the fairway on one, the folks who are around the green on one, who comes out at 7:26 a.m.? The best golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler. You send out the world number one next. He's up against Ludvig Åberg and Matt Fitzpatrick. Now that is, of the four that are going out in the morning for Team Europe, that's the weakest four. And this actually, I kind of like that strategy from Team Europe, in that Åberg and Fitzpatrick are two guys we've got to have out there, but of the ones they are sending out, that is arguably the weakest four. So let's send out Åberg and Fitzpatrick against the best that they have in Scottie Scheffler. And Russell Henley's not amongst the best, but he's partnered with Scottie Scheffler to play with him and off of him. The crowd is going to be hype for Scottie Scheffler, who is not a hype provider, right? Like, we've seen Scottie Scheffler. The most dramatic he gets is sometimes he'll like do like a 10% of a Tiger Woods fist pump. I love Scottie Scheffler and watching him play, but that's because I love golf. If you don't love golf, Scottie Scheffler is the most boring golfer on the world, with the exception of he just kicks everybody's ass all the time. 6 wins this year, one of 4 guys to do that. Tiger, Nick, Arnie, Scottie. So the crowd is now buzzing because of what Bryson and Justin Thomas just did, to not just get the birdie and go one up. And the other part, we didn't even talk about this. John Rahm knew Bryson DeChambeau was going for the green. So John Rahm went for the green. John Rahm came up way short, way off in the rough, created a world with Tyrrell Hatton's second shot, which was a stellar second shot, but it set him up for a long putt for birdie, missed it, par. They knew what Bryson DeChambeau was going to do. They telegraphed that, and that's okay as long as you pull it off. And I think that's where this was a good strategy. Now you send out the world's best but also most boring golfer in Scottie Scheffler. Scottie just needs to go out there and let Let the crowd carry itself. Let the crowd carry the crowd by just playing Scottie Scheffler golf. You don't need anything more than that. I love the start. I also think it is important that Bryson and Justin stay now consistent, because if you drop either one of these first two, I do think we probably are a little bit less talented than Team Europe and the back two. I'm not saying you got to go 2-0. I am saying you can't end up at 3-1. It'd be nice to finish this day with a tie, but that is going to largely be up to what the first two groups do. I do think we have to go undefeated through two out of the gate. All right. This is, again, Bethpage Black is a very interesting course in that it is very much a high-risk, high-reward golf course. And you saw that, again, on that very first tee. Bryson DeChambeau went for the green. And you will see other guys throughout the course of the tournament go for the green. But, like, he's the one that you feel pretty good about his chances to get there. And I turned it a little bit left. It ended up on the fairway, 10 yards shy, whatever. But that is still a risk, because that fairway in the run-up to the green is not exceptionally wide. It's not a wide, and it is running perpendicular to the direction that you are facing, right? So when you are looking at the fairway approaching the green, moving left to right in front of you to the green off to the right. So it's a very narrow landing area if you don't make it to the green. If you go for that area, which is a little closer than the green, right? So it's a little easier distance-wise, but if you go for that spot, you have got to have that thing punch and stop, because if it takes off running, or if you over-roll it backwards and it ends up in the rough, that rough's ankle deep. Like, they have got it very similar to the setup that we had at the U.S. Open, very similar to some of the rough at the Masters when you're talking about the deep fringe well to the outside. So it is a high-risk, high-reward golf course. And from what I've seen, I have not looked up all 18, but the pin position today has kind of been set up for what feels like it would be a championship Saturday event, in that there's a lot of spots where they are on a hill. And there you go. There's the perfect example. John Rahm just threw a dart to try to go pin high and roll it back. They overspun it, and he just ended up landing 10 yards past the hole and spinning 15 back behind it now. So, again, high risk in that if he hits that shot well, he's looking at a 5-6, 7-foot putt for Team Europe for a birdie. Bryson didn't go for a big adventurous approach shot on number two. Now, let me just get it up there on the dance floor as close as I can. Nothing adventurous. And just like that, Team USA now in an excellent position to potentially go grab back-to-back birdies. And assuming that Tyrrell Hatton can't knock down a 20-some-odd foot birdie putt here, very good chance Team USA could go up 2-0 after two. And that would be because on hole one, they played the high-risk shot. They got a big reward. Hole number two, they play it safe, and they make Team Europe play up risky. They don't get the risk, or they don't knock it down, so now they may be in a tough spot here. So, listen, I love this tournament. I've said it a few times. I'll say it one more, and then we're going to run to a break so we give ourselves a few extra minutes in our college football talk in the next segment. I like this tournament more than I like the Masters. I just do. I am a dude that, while I love the Masters. The Masters, the wife and I throw a Masters party every year. I'm in the lottery every year to win Masters tickets, and you'll know when I do, because I will not be here at all Masters week. I will be in Augusta, Georgia. Haven't won them yet. Highlight bucket list item for me, number one, is go to Augusta. Augusta's about the course. This is about the golfers. This is about the guys that are playing. This is about them interacting with the crowd, interacting with each other, interacting with the clubs. This is great. This is a head-to-head golf tournament played with a tailgate party atmosphere around it. I mean, there's dudes in American flag overall jumpsuits losing their mind while Scottie Scheffler's trying to hit up out of the rough after Henley put the drive into the thick stuff. Ugh. Ugh. I love it. All right, I'll keep you up to date with this tournament as it develops. Scottie Scheffler coming out of the sticks from about a buck 48 away and dart on the green, but left it a little bit short, so that's going to be a tough putt for a birdie. All right, college football, when we come back, I got two major upsets I want to run by you, see if I can get you on board for either one of them, and then we'll take out the other big games around the college football atmosphere. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
College football getting fired up this evening. We've got a handful of games on a Friday night. ECU knocking off Army last night, 28-6, got us started. Today, we head to Charlottesville, Virginia. That is where Florida State, number 8 in the country, is headed to take on Tony Elliott and his Virginia Cavaliers. This game is getting us started in what I think is a very interesting way, because I think Virginia is playing, I don't even want to say like a desperate team. I think they're playing like a team that, A, to some degree, just believes in itself. This team is averaging, and again, ain't played nobody, Paul. But at the same time, yeah, that's not true. They played NC State and they lost to NC State. They are 3-1. But the other three teams they played, Coastal, William & Mary, and Stanford, 48-7, 55-16, 48-20. They lost to NC State by 4. And that was during the like 1.5 weeks where we were like, oh, maybe Dave Doran's job is safe. Turns out maybe it's not. We'll come back around to that. But that game starts us off at 7 o'clock tonight. Florida State, for the record, only favored by 6.5 on the road. Obviously, 3 goes to Virginia for playing at the crib. This is a touchdown game, according to Las Vegas, Nevada. This is a game that I think Clemson fans, to some degree, have to be interested in. And I think that is because this is a game I am not going to say will answer the question, but I think it points us in the direction of, is Florida State for real? Because if Florida State is for real, this has got to be a team that they go put away by a couple of touchdowns on the road. It is a Virginia team that is, again, averaging 49.5 points per game, only giving up 20 points per game. This is a team that has got a very interesting pass rush effort. They have thrown 146 passes. They have rushed 169 times. It's relatively balanced with a bit of lean over to the run. Florida State's defense against Kent State had a couple of spots where they looked a little shaky. One of the things that I took away from that game was Florida State is very aggressive against the run. They see run, they bite. Kent State had a couple of spots where some play action and some misdirection out of the run game got Florida State a bit out of sorts. Was that a discipline issue? Is that a defensive issue? Or was that just a matter of, we're playing the Kent State Golden Flashes, boys, pin the ears back and let's go get them, right? Like, let's get a little aggression going. I don't know. But again, it's a good Virginia team. It's not a great Virginia team. They are in the national conversation, depending on where you want to look at them. They're hanging out around 30th, 40th in offensive efficiency. It's not a bad team. Florida State should still win this game, though. I'm going to take FSU with the cover. TCU is at Arizona State. You ready for funsies in this game? I've told you a couple of times. I'm very interested in the TCU Horny Frogs this year. I like this team. Arizona State's favorite in this game, but it's by 3.5. It's at the crib. This is the definition of a pick 'em right now. Arizona State, depending on where you look, I've seen them at 3.5. If you want them on the money line, they're minus 165, which feels a little off for a 3.5-point game, but hey, whatever, I'll take it. Arizona State at the crib taking on TCU tonight, and I mean it when I say this actually may be one of the better games this weekend. Arizona State, who has one loss, it was on the road at Mississippi State. Contentious game, I'll say, in week number two. They lost by 4. TCU, undefeated at 3-0. They currently sit tied for second in the Big 12, but that's because this is their first Big 12 football game. They got the opening week win over North Carolina. Now, in fairness, I based a lot of my I'm interested in the Horny Toads about that win over North Carolina. Turns out North Carolina stinks. So that 48-14 win, not impressive, just not as impressive as it looked like it would be, but they put 42 on Abilene Christian, and remember, they beat SMU. They are the team that made everybody start to question SMU. On the flip side for Arizona State, another team that statistically speaking, this is a squad that can throw it around the football field behind Sam Levin. Assuming that they are hitting the stride now and not walking it back, this is a team that can throw it around the football field. They're only averaging 30 points a game, which is well under what I expected for what this quarterback wide receiver room duo should be. But they're also a team that is averaging 6 yards per play on offense. That tells me they're dinking and dunking. They're slowing the game down when they can and where they need to. I got a lot of respect for that. This Arizona State team is good. This TCU team is good. I find that matchup very interesting tonight as well. Looking at some of tomorrow's big matchups, we open it up with some slappers at noon. USC at Illinois. What the hell do we make of this game?
I don't know. The fact that slappers, I'm thinking knee slappers.
Slap us.
Yeah, and it's just, bang. It's just like you sound, yeah.
After banger. I don't know where I am with this USC Trojan team yet. On one hand, they've dropped points bombs on everybody they've tried to dump points bombs on. 73 on Missouri State, 59 on Georgia Southern. On the other hand, they played two games against teams that I think are, with all due respect to my football lord and savior Drew Brees, the Boilermakers of Purdue, 33-17. That should have been a blowout if USC is back. Michigan State, 45-31. Closer than I'd like. But they're rivalry games. Well, they're conference games. USC, by the way, top of the Big Ten right now. Only because they played two conference games and everybody else that has a win has only played one. But is this the question? Are the Trojans back? And I think this game goes a long way into making me feel confident in agreeing. I actually like this team. I like what they are in terms of
Does
their offensive output.
What happened to Illinois last week?
They lost by 53 to Indiana, Bob.
So
not great, Bob.
So what's this going to prove? I mean, if USC comes out and struggles, I guess it proves that maybe they're a little overrated.
Well, careful.
How does Illinois bounce back from that beatdown?
Is a part of the equation.
Yeah.
How good is Indiana really? Is a part of that equation. Is, you know, again, transitive property of football being what it is, got to be careful about it. Can't give too much away. I don't want to say, as DeChambeau and Thomas rally through three, they'll stay up one over over Rahm and Hatton. I don't want to say that because X beat Y and Y beat Z, this is the intended result. What I am going to say about this game is that the loss from Illinois last week, I genuinely put credit for that on Indiana. I don't think Illinois is as good as a lot of people sold them to be preseason. And I'm also going to,
yeah,
at the
risk.
Yeah,
but wait a minute. They were and still are ranked. How could they not be good?
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm saying they're not as good as I was told they are good at the beginning of the season. I don't think they're as good as everybody said they were. Oh, this is going to be a team that is hanging around the top 10. Maybe they work their way into the top. I don't think they're a top 5 football team. I think they're a good football team. I don't have a question about them anymore. I think that they are a team that is going to hang out around 2021, 22, somewhere in that area. USC, I genuinely don't know yet. And regardless, I mean, unless they just do to Illinois what Indiana did to Illinois, I don't know that we're going to get our answer this week either. Because if they go run Indiana or Illinois, then we are going to ask the question, okay, is Illinois just that bad? Is USC closer to Indiana? And it turns out they're both really good. I don't know what the answer to that is. But I am going to pick USC. Jacob just popped in and said Illinois is my upset pick this week. I feel like they're going to be looking to bounce back in a big way. The late subs are going to be at an all-time high. I agree with you. But if you're going to go with, I picked this team because they look to, you don't think Lincoln Riley and the Trojans are kind of trying to do the same thing? Like take us seriously, right? Keep in mind, this is a team that started the season 3-0. Where were they ranked when they were 3-0, Lonzo? Behind an 0-2 Notre Dame team. If you want to talk about a team that's got some gosh darned motivation, USC's got every bit of it. We went 3-0 out of the gate, beat everyone, including a conference game, 3-0 out of the gate, and you ranked us behind an 0-2 Notre Dame team? I don't think that motivation puts one team over the other. They are at home, though. Notre Dame is at Arkansas. Am I right? Am I right for thinking that this is a Jeremiah Love special? Notre Dame broke Jeremiah Love out last week. Remember after the game against Miami, we came in here on Monday. We said, what in the blue Hades happened to Notre Dame? Aside from the fact that they're always a little bit overrated to start the year. I said, what in the hell happened to Notre Dame? And I said, Jeremiah Love, the dude is one of the best running backs in college football. And you let him touch the ball. How many times did he run the ball in that game? Like 7? He disappeared from the offense. He was invisible in that game. They came back against Texas A&M. They worked in the ball a little bit more. The problem is they got into a shootout with A&M. And defensively, Notre Dame looked awful. Then in game 3, they kind of started to put it together a little bit. Granted, not exactly against a juggernaut in game number 3 for the Fighting Irish, but they did put 56 up on Purdue. Here's the problem. They let Purdue score 30. I don't think that Arkansas is a great football team. I don't really think they're a good football team. They are 2-2. I think this is a football team that can score points, though. They put up 52, 56, 35 in a loss to Ole Miss, and 31 in a loss on the road at Memphis, who now looks like they are far and away clearly the best Group of 5 team. A lot of football left, but Memphis right now is the Group of 5 driver for a playoff spot. They put up 31 in a loss on the road at a tough Memphis team. Arkansas is pretty good. I've gone back and forth on this game. Notre Dame favored by 4.5. I think I'm going to take the Arkansas cover in this game, because I think they can get into a shootout, and unless Notre Dame has figured something out with their defense, Arkansas is going to score points. I think this could be a very dramatic who has the ball last kind of games, which I know that's kind of a football cliche, and I stay away from, but I really think that's where we are.
You're not going to pull the trigger that Arkansas could upset Notre Dame?
No, I think Arkansas can upset Notre Dame. I think it is going to be up to Notre Dame's defense in this one. I think it is going to be up to Notre Dame's defense. If the Irish defense have figured it out, gotten embarrassed, whatever. You let 30, the win over Purdue, good to get back on the winning side of things. But it's Purdue, and you let them score 30. If Purdue can score 30, Arkansas can score 35, 38. Arkansas can get into that window. And if Arkansas can get into that window, they can absolutely beat Notre Dame. Here's my question. What is the reaction if Arkansas does beat Notre Dame? Oh, man. That reaction is going to be nothing shy of hysterical.
I think the real question is, would Notre Dame still be ranked?
No, you can't do it after that.
Really?
Yeah.
They
you can't
0-2,
do it after that.
0-2, right?
Yes, but they were 0-2 to two teams that are that were inside the top 25. Like, I'm not saying it was right. I'm saying the rationale behind Notre Dame being ranked at 0-2 was they had the, unquestionably, hardest first two games of anybody in America. And both games were close, right? They didn't get blown out in either game. They were both nail-biter fourth quarter, late fourth quarter games, and they stayed alive. So that's why they are giving him, that's why they gave Notre Dame, pardon me, some level of credit by keeping them at 24 inside the top 25. The Purdue win allows you to stay there. You lose to Arkansas. Notre Dame is not just done. Notre Dame loses to Arkansas. Maybe a playoff killer for them? Maybe because it's an unranked loss?
What do you mean maybe?
Well, they could still end at 9-3. And as Denton Day and I have both projected, I think there will be a 9-3 team in the field this year. If there's a 9-3 team in the field, I've been saying over and over what? If there's 9-3, they're from the SEC. I'm going to amend that. If they're 9-3, they're from the SEC or RND. I made it rhyme too. Damn, I'm good at this.
Wow, you didn't realize you were doing that. I mean,
no, I was putting it together in my head, but I had to get to the cadence. It's all about the cadence.
That wasn't your projected
goal.
They're
9-3 from the SEC, or they are named MD. There it is. There's your cadence to it and everything.
Way to go, Eminem.
All right, so this would, I think the only way Notre Dame can be 9-3 into the playoffs, however, is if all three losses are to ranked teams. I think that this would be an absolute killer for that team. Could be wrong. Probably not, though. All right, here's what we are. We got time to do one or two more before we bounce up out of here. We have got also, and of course, I closed out my list of games because I thought I was going to break there. Well, I might as well. Let's see. What else? I want to finish out the noon slate. I'm very good. I just did all that. I got caught up in the 9-3 from the SEC, or they are named ND. I got caught up in that. My bad. Duke -4.5 at Syracuse. Am I going to go deep into this game? Not really. Duke favored on the road at Syracuse the week after Syracuse beat the Clemson Tigers is very interesting. I think the Orange is going to be buzzing. I might take Cuse on the upset there over Duke, a team I want to believe in, but I just haven't seen anything to believe in yet.
Yeah, I think you got to go Syracuse there.
I did too.
I mean, coming off of what they did
last
week.
Unless you think they're just gassed. Did they leave everything in Clemson? It's only been a week.
Nah.
Louisville at Pitt, Cincinnati at Kansas. That pretty much wraps up your noon slate. We've got in the 3:30 window, a handful of top 25 teams in action. Here's what we'll do. When we come back, I have got a few clips. We're not going to do a full audio blitz for you. I do have a couple I want to get to you. We'll do some audio blitz. Then we will run through in the second segment of the next hour our biggest games from the 3:30 in the night window in college football. Rashad Beard joins us in under an hour to talk Panther football. We'll set you up for the road game at the Patriots. We will have the boys from the Moving the Chains pod at 9 o'clock to set you up for the Friday Night Lights High School schedule. And then at 9:20, Denton Day, host of Sirius XM on college football overtime, will join us. We'll break his thoughts down on the college football weekend. End of the show. Belongs to you. All of that coming up after a 5-star, if they ranked him, would hold on to the number one spot from wire to wire, Lonzo Sports Flash.
Way to go. I mean, not only did you hype me up, but you mentioned the afternoon show. Way to go, you. The Seattle Seahawks gave up 14-point advantage in the third quarter, but hit a 52-yard field goal as time expired for a 23-20 win over Arizona last night. In the last minute, Sam Darnold hit Jackson Smith Njigba from The Ohio State University for a 22-yard gain to set up the Jason Myers walk-off for the 8th consecutive win over the Cardinals. Sam Darnold threw for 242 yards and a touchdown in the win. Not bad for a supposedly washed-up player. The Ryder Cup begins today at Bethpage Black in New York. Two-time U.S. champion Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau will bat leadoff against Spaniard Jon Rahm and Englishman Tyrrell Hatton. 2 years ago, the Americans were swept in the open foursomes. I don't know why I'm still reading that because it's going on, but they're doing good. The L.A. Lakers have extended the contract of head coach J.J. Redick. Though terms were not disclosed, Redick led the Lakers to a 50-32 record.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.